Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maz. Mike is out today, so I am firmly planted in the a-hole chair where I think I may... I'm actually starting to get a little more comfortable here, Jimmy. I'm starting to embrace this thing. You don't want to know the truth.
Oh, you're getting comfortable, you said.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said uncomfortable. You're getting comfortable.
Oh,
that's
no,
nice.
I'm starting to get a little more comfortable in the a-hole chair to the point where, frankly, next week I might not give it back. I'm just saying. You know, everything for a price, I suppose, but you know...
Do you have that power?
If it's all... No, of course not. If it's all about leverage and negotiation,
just go Tom Brady style. Cool.
I don't know. Maybe I can get that weenie to buy me lunch or something next week. They give up the seat. Maybe that would be a nice thing to do. In any case, Adam Jones is on the B side. He is here filling in for Jim Murray, who has also skipped out of town. And Christian Arcand here to give his headlines. So we brought the night show in to cast a little shade on the afternoon program here from 2 to 6. Be largely caller-driven here in the final hour, unless Pac-Man, you got anything else on your mind that you want to get to immediately?
No, let's talk to the people. I love talking to the people. Let's talk to the people.
Okay, so actually, Joe Needham wants to bring up something that we haven't touched on yet today as it pertains to last night's Red Sox game. So go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
You know, I completely agree with you. The fact that Dombrowski didn't do anything with the bullpen, I mean, the sheer thought of Heath Hembray coming out of the bullpen in an ALCS game is just absolutely terrifying. But how about the fact that Drew Pomeranz is still sticking around, and after last night's loss, I mean, he shouldn't even be in the rotation anymore. Get Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, I know he's only played one game, and Cora is really player-focused, and he wants to keep Drew Pomeranz to give him a chance, but the guy stinks. I don't even want him in the bullpen.
So, look, Joe, I don't want him in the bullpen either. And two things on Pomeranz. I thought he was actually going to say something positive. The only reason Pomeranz is in the rotation right now is because of injuries, right? I mean, Steven Wright's out. Sale just went on the DL. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need five starters, right? Brian Johnson's going to pitch tomorrow night, so he's already in the rotation. So I suppose you could put Velasquez or someone in there if you wanted to, but whatever. Like, I'm okay with Pomeranz being in there now. I thought he was going to say that Pomeranz took a step in the right direction last night. Did he?
Let's say a half step. Well, I would not call last night a great outing, but he was better. I mean, he's still shaky, but before he was putrid. So he went from putrid to shaky. And I, Tony, you and I have battled about this many times. I like that trade that Dave Dombrowski made. I still like that trade, but Pomeranz has been miserable this year. So yeah, I think it was a little half step in the right direction, but let's see if he can keep that going for any chunk of time. I don't do cartwheels when David Price has one good start, out of the clouds. So I'm not going to do that for Pomeranz.
See, that's a way more positive answer than I expected from you. Half step in the right direction?
Yes.
My answer would be no.
He cut his ERA. I think he took a half a run off his ERA last night, tells you how high it was in the first place, but that's a step in the right direction.
I still don't think he was very good. I don't think the stuff is very good. I don't think the guy's a good pitcher. And the next person that tells me that they think they should put Drew Pomeranz in the bullpen, for what? You want him facing someone in October? Coming
out
of the bullpen?
Gold, Tony.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a little bit of found gold there, Jimmy. That's right. It's what John Farrell said back in 2016, I think it was, right?
Do you think they should? Yeah, it was 2016.
Yeah, then they found that gold, and he got in the game and gave up a home run to Coco Crisp, and that was the end of that season.
Turn people's fingers green.
Yes. No, Pomeranz is why they lost that series, yes.
Well, he was one of them. It was a pretty big home run.
He did not help. I don't think he's why they lost that. I'd probably start with Porcel, Blow, and Price. That's where I'd start. Having the team behind the eight ball right out of the chute. That's where I'd start in that series. But no, so for me with Pomeranz, like, keep him out of the rotation. Why would you have him in the rotation? Because I don't know. Like, Brian Johnson has pitched okay to this point. I'd much rather have them stick with Pomeranz in the meantime, especially with a cushion, and hope that Pomeranz will find what he had last year, which was 17 wins. For as much as you hate him, 17 wins and a 3.32 ERA. Like, if Pomeranz gets back just what he had last year, maybe he won't. But if he does, he's maybe the second best pitcher they have in this rotation third? Like, he would start a playoff game if he figured out what he had last year. So he's better than Brian Johnson. He's better than Stephen Wright. He's better than Eovaldi. He might be better than Porcello and Price on their right days. So I don't know. If he finds out what he had last year, and that's a big if, but I'd give him some time to try to find it. And if he doesn't, then stick him in the bullpen or leave him off the playoff roster. If he's pitching like crap, leave him off the playoff roster.
Well, since you put it that way, no. He's a bum. I think he's a bum. I think he's always going to be a bum. Okay. Jackson, Connecticut. Jack, what do you
got? They have a lot of bums, is my point.
Yep. How you doing?
Good, Jack. What do you got?
Yeah, well, the other day you said that my favorite player, Dustin Pedroia, was not Hall of Fame caliber, but you didn't back it up at all. And I asked you to look at his record versus many of the people who were second basemen who were in the Hall of Fame. He comes off very well against most of the guys who are already there.
Okay, please. So again, Jack, you might be right about that, and I don't even do it that way. I just look at it in the context of your own era. Good player, not a Hall of Famer. Craig Biggio, not a Hall of Famer. He got in. So, look, I love Pedroia as a player, too. I love him as a competitor. And unlike a lot of people, I don't think he's the negative influence in the clubhouse that everyone thinks. He's just not a leader. Never has been. I never expected him to be, so my perspective on it is different. But Jones is smirking over here, which means clearly he got something to say.
No, that guy thinks he's a Hall of Famer? Like, that next thing he's going to tell me Rick Middleton's number should be up in the rafters? Like, is that what he's going to do? Like, Pedroia's nowhere near the Hall of Fame. Okay, and I said this to Arcan last night. Maybe the best comparison for Pedroia in some ways is Nomar. Okay, like Nomar on balance had a really good Red Sox career, but it ended horribly. Horribly. And that left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. So I think that's how it's going to go with Pedroia. Like, on balance, is Pedroia going to be looked at as a quality player in Red Sox history? Sure. Could he be a Red Sox Hall of Famer? Maybe.
He will be.
But the idea that he's a baseball Hall of Famer?
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
And the idea that, you know, he hasn't had this sourpuss attitude that has impacted the clubhouse late in his career, I just disagree with that. In fact, I love that Ian Kinsler and Pedroia hate each other going back to their days at ASU. And I'm rooting for Ian Kinsler. While Pedroia's probably up there in the stands rooting against Kinsler night in and night out, I'm rooting for Kinsler to twist that knife even more while Pedroia has to watch while Kinsler is taking his job.
So the Nomar comparison's not bad for this reason. Nomar started out rookie of the year and then finished second in the MVP voting. Pedroia went rookie of the year and won it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
In a really bad MVP year, but yes, he did win it.
Yeah, and he didn't deserve to win it that year. Euculus did, but that's another story for another day.
Rings for Pedroia, too.
Okay, so this is the difference. This is why he won't be remembered negatively, Pac-Man, whereas Nomar was, is that Pedroia won two championships here, mm-hmm. right? Two championships, and he was a significant part of both of them.
I fully agree. He was a big part of both of them.
It does. It changes the narrative on his career. And again, he wasn't a leader, neither was Nomar. I'll say this, though. Nomar's ceiling was higher than Pedroia's. Nomar's best was way better than Pedroia's best. But Pedroia was a consistently good player for really a good chunk of time. Rickson, but Hall of Fame, no way. Rickson, a car. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, what's up, guys? I know you touched on that 13-inning game, the Sandy Leone debacle, the fact that they didn't bring they brought Kimbrel up and never brought him in. But the one thing that really bothered the heck out of me was, I don't know if you saw it in the ninth inning, J.D. Martinez walked, guy on first, no outs. Moreland came up. They put the shift on him. There's not a guy 30, 40 feet away near third base, and they don't even take a chance to bunt it. Like, say, worst case, the pitcher gets over there, throws him out at first, you still got two guys to try to drive him in, and he was 0-for on the night. So, late game decisions.
Yeah, Rick, your phone wasn't great, so I hope people heard what he said. But in the ninth inning of that game, or maybe in the bottom of the eighth, I don't remember which one it was. I think it was the ninth, though. I think
it
he's
was.
Right.
2 nights ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in the eighth inning, the Red Sox got the lead man on. Brock Holt doubled. They had Sandy Leone up, and they didn't bunt. And then in the ninth, J.D. Martinez got on with Mitch Moreland up, and the caller's saying that the defense was shifted to the right side and would have been an opportunity to put a bunt down. I don't remember where the...
I was going to say, I'd have to look at the positioning. But if he's right about the defensive alignment, then he's right. Why not lay one down there?
So, look, there were a lot of things that happened late in that game that to me were frustrating. The fact that Leone didn't bunt after a leadoff double, like all of a sudden Sandy Leone's Joe Mauer in his prime. Like, you're going to let that catcher hit when he's at the bottom of your lineup? That, to me, is one of the stupidest things I saw in that game. And Kimbrel was warming but never got into the game at all. Tie game at home, you have your closer warming and then you never bring him in. So you weren't holding him out for a save situation because there isn't one.
Mm-hmm.
So why did he get up at all? And why does Hector Velasquez then get into the game instead of Craig Kimbrell? That made zero sense to me. Furthermore, you want to talk about the bullpen. You say, well, the bullpen did its job that night. Did it? Because all those guys put men on base in the final innings. They all walked people. Every single one of them. Whether it was Brazier or whether it was Joe Kelly, they were all walking people in the final innings.
Yeah, just like Barnes technically did his job last night. I mean, they lost. Barnes technically did his job last night, but like, he walked the bases loaded. Like, he got out of a jam, but he was in that jam. I know you're talking about two nights ago, but no, last night is another example.
And so, Pac-Man, to me, this is one of the big things to watch with that bullpen. Pressure situations, particularly on the road against good teams. Can they throw strikes consistently under pressure? And I don't think they can. This is what worries me about this group, is you're going to go up against good hitters in big spots, and unless you can throw quality strikes, you will get hit, or you're going to put men on and get hurt. And that, to me, that's a concern about this bullpen. 617-779-0985. I see you all lined up there. When we come back, we'll continue with your calls. And my buddy Alan in Florida, I'm sure, has a thought on Chris Sale.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Red Sox here in just a second. A lot of you lined up want to talk baseball, which I get, but I do want to squeeze in this call. We mentioned Rick Middleton earlier. The Bruins are retiring his number, which to me, honestly, not that far-fetched. But Dennis is in Beverly, wants to talk to Jones about Middleton. Go ahead, Dennis.
Oh, boy. Hey, Adam, how's it going? I typically agree with your call, your takes, and you have strong takes, and I appreciate them. And I get how you were mocking the guy earlier with his whole approach, but I think you need to be educated as far as Middleton's concerned.
All right, educate me.
Okay, 988 career points, 1984 Canada Cup, first line, Gretzky, Middleton, Goulet.
Oh, the Canada Cup.
All right.
Oh, I didn't know he was on the first Canada line Cup. On the Canada Cup. Okay, I take it back. Put him up in the rafters.
All right, now let's have a few other ones. Mr. Marca, all right? He has four-time 40-goal scorer, scored 50 goals once, all right? He was part in 82-83. Yeah, granted, they fell short of the cup, all right? One of the best Bruins seasons ever, even though they fell short of the cup. They lost to the mighty Islanders. They were 50-20-10, won the President's Trophy, lost in the semis to the Islanders.
Dennis, get to the point. What's the point?
The point is, he's wrong. That's the point.
Okay, so there you go. We get to the money line.
Dennis, is he still there?
I let him go.
Okay, but my
question. We don't engage the callers like you do on the night show.
No, fair point. We have to drag those out a little bit longer on the night show. That's true. Why did it take 3 decades to put the thing up there? Then
good question. I'm just telling
like
you.
If he's such a no-brainer, and I'm so wrong, why'd the Bruins wait so long to do it?
Yeah, let me talk to the Maka.
Yeah, did they just? Well, maybe the Bruins just found out he was on the first line in the Canada Cup. Maybe that's what they found out, and they're like, oh, crap, we better get that up there. Wow, I didn't know that.
Go ahead, Christian. You look like you're ready to pipe in.
I was wondering what he said. Mocker?
Mocker.
I want to talk to the mocker?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was.
I want to talk to the mocker about Nifty.
By the way, as Ty Anderson tweeted today, Rick Middleton is the third most goals and fourth most points in Bruins history. That's not enough to get your sweater up there?
I mean, I told you.
Talk to the Bruins. Don't talk to me.
No, I'm asking you. I'm asking you. Whatever they decided. That should be enough to get a number retired, wouldn't you think?
Why'd they wait so long, then?
I don't know why they did. I'm asking you, though.
I'll tell you what, Pac-Man, why don't you email the media relations department over there and find out why they waited so long? I'm sort of busting your balls about it a little bit, but I'm done talking about Middleton.
Anyway, my answer would be because he was a compiler. That's why.
Okay.
My buddy Alan's in Florida. I'm sure wants to give me some grief about Chris Sale or something. What's up, Alan?
No, I wanted to ask Jones. I'm sitting waiting for the second game of the Yankee doubleheader that he was ranting about.
Yes, I was incorrect on that. That's true. I'll acknowledge I was wrong about that.
You must do a lot of prep work going in about a Yankee doubleheader.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Mass, I actually do agree with you. I think Sale is a stand-up guy, and if there was anything more, he'd come out and say it, whether the Red Sox wanted him to or not. Now, let me just get to the relief pitches a little bit. Does anyone know, I mean, Jones, you're a real baseball expert. You know what Britton did his second time with the Yankees? How about walking three guys and hitting a batter and losing the game?
So very
important.
So he stinks now, Alan.
Oh, what?
So he's bad now.
Well, first of all, he's not anywhere near what he was a couple of years ago. And first of all, yeah, you want to know something? I'll take Eovaldi throwing 100 miles an hour in relief over Zach Britton right now. How do you like that one?
Alan, are you happy about the fact that they didn't add a reliever at the deadline?
Of course not. I'm not happy. But I didn't want him to get... You know, a guy called earlier and talked about Herrera. Herrera, the guy must have been drunk. You know what Herrera did today? Gave up a home run, then another hit, and then Washington had a hold on in the end with Herrera pitching. I'm just saying these relief pitchers, you know that, Maz. I mean, I wanted him to go out and get a top-notch guy. I would have liked Herrera, even though he's been lousy for Washington. I wanted Iglesias. They couldn't get him. They don't have enough to get him. I'm hoping... I wanted him to get it, but I'm hoping Thornburg... I'm hoping Thornburg comes up, and they're going to go with three pitches. You know what I think about Price, but they're going to go with him, and he's not going to be relief. And Eovaldi will be the long man. I mean, what are you going to do? Plus, okay.
I'm going to let you go. I said this earlier, and I think to me this is a significant thing. Okay, I'm shocked they didn't add a reliever at the deadline. Shocked. I mean, to me, that's like step one of fortifying your team for a playoff run.
Every team did it. And Dombrowski's done it each of the last two times they've been in the playoff mix anyway when he's been here. Dombrowski added Ziegler and he even added Abad a couple of years ago. Like he's added guys at the deadline every year, this one.
To me, adding bullpen help at the trade deadline is as basic as it gets.
No brainer.
It's as basic as it gets. It's an automatic. It's what you do. You go get another reliever. No matter how good your bullpen is, you go get another reliever. So you can mock Zach Britton, and you know what? You might be right. He might suck. I don't know. Who the hell knows? I have no idea how he's going to pitch with the Yankees. I'd have taken a shot. He's left-handed. He's a power guy. To me, the Red Sox should have made that deal.
Would you rather have Britton or Eovaldi?
Britton. But the point is this. The Yankees have Aroldis Chapman, who can close. Dellin Betances, who can close. David Robertson, who can close. And they went out and got another one. The Yankees didn't need bullpen help. They still got it. The Yankees have the number one rated bullpen in the American League. And they still went out and got bullpen help because at the trading deadline, that's what you do. You go out and get bullpen help. You can never have enough. Ever. And the Indians, if they get Andrew Miller back, we're still going to make the Brad Hand deal. Okay, they were still going to do that. This guy did nothing. He did nothing, at least yet. And I have to admit, I find the approach... I mean, I find it unbelievable that he went through the deadline, didn't add a reliever. But on some level, I find the approach fascinating from a Dombrowski standpoint for this reason. One way or another, his nuts are on the line now, man.
Yeah, it's a bold stance.
I mean, to have Matt Barnes, Joe Kelly, Tyler Thornburg, who has been a little bit better lately.
A little bit.
But even, you know, Carson Smith earlier on, like, you know, when you weigh it all out, you look at all the guys he has out there.
Well, Brazzers is throwing 99. Don't forget about him.
Did I even say Joe Kelly? Did I say Joe Kelly?
I think you did. Yes.
To have those guys out there, right, Brazzers, and believe that they are going to win or pitch better in the seventh or eighth inning at Houston or at New York blows my mind. And again, that he didn't do the most basic thing at the deadline blows my mind. As you said, Pac-Man, 14 other teams that are vying for the playoffs added 22 relief pitchers at the deadline, and all of them added at least one. The Red Sox didn't add any. Dombrowski is just spitting in the face of conventional wisdom at this deadline. He's spitting in the face of it. What if he's right? If he could come out of this October looking like a genius or one of the great donkeys, arrogant donkeys of all time.
Which way are you leaning? I can't quite tell.
Okay, so look, I think he made a mistake. Like, I just think sometimes people do outsmart themselves. But just because everybody added a reliever doesn't mean you should do it.
Right.
Right? Like, that's not the reason to do it.
Yeah, just because you start a corner 98% of the time, and most teams start both their corners in the Super Bowl, doesn't mean you have to do it.
Right.
It's bold. It's out there. You'll look like a genius, I guess, if it works, but... Sometimes it doesn't.
So I just think that there's he's taken a huge gamble here. Huge. But the payoff is potentially enormous.
Just one other thing here. Last 2 years, he added an eighth inning guy at the deadline. Mm-hmm. What the hell difference did it make? Right? I mean, did you even notice the bullpen in the playoffs? You didn't even get to him. The only time you saw the bullpen is when they came in to mop up David Price's mess or Rick Porcello's mess or something like that. He got Addison Reed. He got Brad Ziegler. It didn't matter at all. The real problem with this team still exists. It's not the eighth inning.
Okay, so that's not entirely true because ultimately when they got eliminated last year in the eighth inning, did Addison Reed get in the game? He didn't.
No.
Who'd they go to? Sale?
He didn't. They went to Kimbrel early.
That's right.
The point being this.
And they went to Sale before Kimbrel.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. They just didn't go to Reed at all.
Yeah.
So last year to me was more about Farrell than it was about Dombrowski. They got him as eighth inning guy. He talked about Addison Reed being his quote-unquote closer B.
Yep.
Remember all that?
Right. Yeah.
And then when it came time to use him, first of all, he didn't use him consistently down the stretch the way he should have. And then in the playoffs, he didn't use him at all. So I put that one on Farrell. I don't put that one on Dombrowski. But this one, it's hard to look at this one and feel like Dombrowski did what you expected a GM to typically do. He didn't. Now, that either makes it ballsy or stupid. We're going to find out. If he's right, though, he's going to look awful smart.
Mm-hmm.
He will. Especially if Price ends up in the bullpen and Eovaldi ends up in the bullpen and they both pitch great. Like all of a sudden, Dave Dombrowski will look different. Now, again, I'm just sort of laying the story out there. I'm stunned they didn't add a bullpen arm. I find it like inexcusable. And you brought up a point about what the Red Sox at this did at this deadline in the email chain that I want to get to. We'll do that after Arcane gets you caught up on headlines.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So as many of you know, we have an email exchange every morning on this program, and so Adam Jones and Christian Arcand participated today because they are filling in on the show. Jones said something in the email exchange that, to me, I got an email about last night from a listener as well. It was late in the day yesterday, and we haven't touched on it yet, so go ahead, Pac-Man. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so here's my thing, and I have wondered, mistakenly, whether or not John Henry would veto the Red Sox from going into luxury tax territory. And clearly they're into luxury tax territory. They are over $237 million. They will be, they're going to move down 10 picks in the draft. Oh no, what are they going to do? So they're into that next threshold where they're taxed at a ridiculously high rate.
62.5%.
So there you go.
Which means that for every million you add in payroll in a player, you actually pay 1.625.
Yeah, I was going to say roughly a dollar and a half, but yes, 1.6, whatever. And they drop 10 spots in the draft. Again, let's see your Bill Murray kingpin gif. Ooh, the 10 spots in the draft. Ooh, that all the beat writers were like, oh, it's a tangible effect of going over that threshold. So I was wrong about this. I thought Henry may restrict them from going over it, but he didn't. They're over that threshold. So they are paying that 1.6 for every dollar they spend. They are dropping 10 spots in the draft. So now that they're there, why didn't they go all in? Like, why didn't they go all in on this? Why didn't you add Manny Machado? Why didn't you add an expensive reliever? Like, why didn't they really go all in at this trade deadline? The only person it protects, you're dropping in the draft. I think you lose some international bonus money. Literally the only person this impacts is John Henry and his bottom line. That's it. So what? Henry doesn't want to spend a little more on this team to put him over the top? Like, that's frustrating as a fan. If you're over that threshold, it's not about draft picks. It's not about bonus money, even though the Red Sox and the beat writers around the team will tell you that's what it's about. Why not go all in on this? Why were they so hesitant to go over the threshold when ultimately they go over it and now they're just barely over it? A radio show in the past, Tony, has said this. A wise man once said, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. Like, go out there and really go into luxury tax territory. Really blow this thing up. And they didn't. So that to me is frustrating.
So again, I received an email about this yesterday from a listener, a Red Sox fan. And I think it's a fair point that, just to put it in context, because people get mixed up with the numbers. Because of the tax, the Red Sox took on an additional $1.8 million in salary for Ian Kinsler,
mm-hmm.
right? $1.8 million. It's actually going to cost them almost three.
Right.
2.9 and change.
But if they would have ate the whole salary, it would have cost them even more.
Correct. But the point is that the 1.8, because of the tax, actually is going to cost them about three.
I see.
Okay, just under $3 million. So you say, well, that's not totally insignificant, except that what are you worried about the money for?
Mm.
The real penalty of crossing that threshold, as you said, is that you slip in the draft. And you could see this coming because Alex Speer wrote a story last week saying that the Red Sox were prepared to go over the threshold. And Pac-Man, I'm not even sure they lose international bonus money here. They might, but I don't remember seeing that in the penalties. And if they did, they traded for some of that from Cincinnati, if you remember, early in the year. My guess is anticipating the penalty so that it doesn't come out of their own bonus money. It's the extra that they got from the Reds. But whatever. The real penalty, allegedly, is slipping in the draft. So once you go over, why won't you go over further? And you know what the answer is? First of all, they might. But to get a player with a higher salary, he's a better player. You have to trade minor league talent. And they don't really have it. So they don't have talent to deal. The real obstruction for them at this trade deadline was not the threshold.
See, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Who did they trade at this deadline, Tony?
Nobodies.
Okay, bunch of nobodies. Even for their system.
Correct.
Did they trade a top 10 guy?
No, but this is my point. To get a good player with a high salary, you have to, and they didn't want to trade those guys.
Oh, okay, so I'm sorry. So maybe they didn't want to. That's fine, but they definitely could have.
Well, sure they could have.
Oh, okay, sorry. I misinterpreted what you're saying.
No, they don't have the depth of prospects to deal.
They do. They just didn't want to. I think they should have.
Depth of prospects, I said. They don't have
They don't have a depth of prospects as it is. You might as well trade them.
Okay, so they have guys at A-ball that, again, and I'm with you on this one, that to me aren't necessarily even really prospects. But the real obstruction to them making deals is that they couldn't match the talent in other organizations. It's a better way to say it. They don't have the talent to match in other organizations to get the players who are carrying bigger salaries. Kelvin Herrera, because they were clearly willing to add Kelvin Herrera, if you believe the reports that are out there. You know why they couldn't get him? Because they didn't have the players.
Well, no, the Nationals chose not to sell. That's why, Tony. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what Dombrowski would tell you.
Yeah, if you believe all of that garbage. So, but again, you're not wrong to say if you're going to go over the threshold, go over it. Once you're paying the penalty, once you're dropping 10 spots in the draft, who cares about another $5 million?
Where are all the beat writers freaking out about dropping 10 spots in the draft?
You mean after peddling that for years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Yeah, good point by you.
Where are all those Oh, well, you can't go over the luxury tax threshold. You dropped 10 spots in the draft. Okay, they did, and now they're going to. Why aren't you guys killing the team for it?
No.
Why aren't you guys freaking out?
No. See, the way they do it now when they cover the teams is they give them credit for staying under the threshold, and then when they go over, they give them credit for saying, see, they went over.
Yeah, well, they're spending. See, they care about the team. They're spending.
Correct. Huh. But apparently they don't care about the draft picks anymore. Mike's in Oakham or Oakham, whatever, whichever one it is. Go ahead, Mike. Well, we lost him. Good. Okay. See you later. It'll probably be the last time I ever mention Oakham. Jeff is in a car. Jeff, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Totally respect your opinion there, Maz. Good information coming out of the break. And then you sort of touched on my point or my question going into the break. You know, with Sale being questionable in postseason and overpriced being questionable in the postseason, what is Dombrowski thinking? I can't wrap my head around this. It's like he's throwing the towel into the postseason.
So, Jeff, I don't think he's throwing the towel in. I don't think that that's what he's doing. And look, I'm not here to defend him today because, to me, I find it like borderline, when I say unbelievable, I mean truly not believable. I find it not believable that a GM of the team with the best record in baseball and on pace for 112 victories would look at his bullpen and think, well, it's airtight. We don't have to do anything there. No GM ever looks at his bullpen as being airtight. None. Not one that's worth half a salt anyway. So I find it, I don't want to say unconscionable because that's too strong, but I'm stunned that Dombrowski did not add a bullpen piece.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I am blown away. He's not throwing in the towel, though. You know, what he's saying, and this is what I meant to say when I'm not defending Dombrowski. He's put a lot of resources into this pitching staff. At some point, some of these guys got to start living up to their salaries and reputation.
Or do you think he just looked at Houston last year and said, they did it different, we can do it that way?
So it could be that, too. Although, again, I find that hard to believe. Maybe Dombrowski's looking at it that way. I don't think Cora is. Because Cora has said over and over when he's been asked about it, he said, yeah, you know, that's kind of how it worked out. It's not the way we planned it, though.
And my counter to that would be, well, they had McCullers and Charlie Morton in their bullpen. Who do the Red Sox have?
Exactly. Which is why I still think there's a chance Price ends up out there. But the bottom line is this. If you're Dombrowski, at some point you look at it and say, I traded for Carson Smith, who got hurt, probably my fault because he was an injury waiting to happen. And then the jackass decided to slam his glove in the dugout and blow his shoulder out. Mm-hmm. So now he's out again. Okay, but I traded for him. I gave up four prospects, I think it was, for Craig Kimbrell, who's been good for us. I gave up a prospect for Drew Pomeranz. I gave up $217 million for David Price. I gave up two of the best prospects in the game for Chris Sale. I gave up four prospects again for Tyler Thornburg.
Yeah, that one hurts.
Okay, I have traded for Addison Reed in the past, as you pointed out. I have traded for Fernando Abad in the past. I have traded for one guy after the next on this team. And at some point, these guys have to get people out in October. They just, at some point, they have to get people out. So I didn't want Rick Porcello in Detroit. I inherited him here with a $20 million contract. Fine. But I brought in Sale. I brought in Price. I brought in all these guys. At some point, somebody's got to get someone out. So that part of it I get. All I'm saying is this. Let's not make the pitchers fully exempt either. The pitchers got to take their share of the responsibility too. David Price in October has been a train wreck, as we all know. Rick Porcello has been a train wreck and somehow skates. We don't talk about him enough. You know, Chris Sale last year wasn't good and we give him a pass because it was his first time in there. But these guys, and Craig Kimbrell, by the way, is no slam dunk in October either.
Agreed. So, all those names I think are reasonable. Like I'm not going to hold Matt Barnes accountable if Matt Barnes can't pitch in the eighth inning. He shouldn't be pitching in the eighth inning. That's not Matt Barnes' fault. He's not an eighth inning guy. So if that's what you're asking him to do, that's not Barnes' fault. But Price and Porcello and Sale and Kimbrell, those guys are all fair.
And neither is Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly's not an eighth inning guy anyway. If he blows up, that one's on Dombrowski.
Yeah.
But if Sale goes out there again and stinks, how is Dave Dombrowski responsible for that?
Yeah, no, that's Sale's fault, yeah.
Like, to me, you know, there is, you know, and if Porcello goes out and stinks, how many starting pitchers do you want him to get? I mean, he went out and got Pomeranz. He went out, and I'm not telling you I like the move, but he made the attempt. He went out and got Pomeranz. He went out and got Sale. He went out and got Price. And they all sucked in October. All of them. So at some point, you sort of, as a GM, you kind of just throw your hands up. The bullpen, though, is Dombrowski's pass, too. There's a pattern there.
Yep.
So he's made mistakes there in the bullpen in the past, and that one's impossible for him to get by if the bullpen doesn't pitch well. Quickly, Nick's in Belmont. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, yeah, you know, Pac-Man just talked about Barnes being accountable, and I think that's the key right here, is that it's time to make Barnes accountable. It's time to make, you know, Kelly accountable. If you look at Houston in their model, you had guys like Will Harris pitching in the eighth inning in high-leverage situations. So it's time for us to start to trust them. I know, Maz, that you don't have trust in these guys, but that's how we're going to get this done. We have to start trusting in these guys to make this happen. And I know of a guy that we can call up that, you know, I know you don't look at him as a quality guy, but all of these guys have solid numbers this year. Call Brandon Workman back up. We need to get these guys back in high leverage situations.
Yeah, Workman is back up, Nick. He's back on the staff.
Yeah, look, with the Sale move. Yeah,
yeah, they don't have a choice. These guys are going to get the eighth inning.
Well, and to the caller's point, Houston is a good example of maybe what the Red Sox want to do, but they're the exception to the rule. Right? Yeah, like yeah. Most teams recently have not done that. I heard you talking about this last night. Kansas City, Cleveland, even Chicago to an extent. Those guys did it differently.
Yeah, it's just a hard thing to pin your hat on is what the Astros did. It's a hard way to do it. Okay, we'll wrap it up next and we'll have the final word.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for the final word. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
No, nobody. That's correct.
Nobody at all.
No one.
No one's done it. Never lost. Nope. This is a bit of a night show takeover here today.
What is it ever?
Both Jones and I are in. But since Jones is here...
It's gotten darker as we've been in here.
It certainly has. Oh, by the way, I noticed that when Shaughnessy was here and sitting in between you, he was like dark while everybody was very bright. I thought that was very appropriate. It was like Jack Nicholson in The Departed. You know, everywhere he goes, he's all dark. Like, that's like, what it looked like.
Like bad lighting over there?
Yeah, exactly. That you should be sitting there.
I probably should be.
Literally standing in the shadows.
Right. Anyway, since Jones is here, we decided to go over for the final word some of Jones's greatest hits.
I love it.
Oh, boy.
We'll start it off with this one happened recently, actually. It was when Rob Gronkowski put out a tweet, and Sarge Riley was in studio with Jones and was trying to read Gronk's tweet. And rather than explain it anymore, let's just take a listen.
This is a great one.
Well, there's something to consider here, what you haven't brought up. The fact that Joe Judge, who is back, who they kind of had to retain as the special teams coach. Do you think he had some sort of a say here?
No.
I think he may have.
You think the special teams coach is calling the shots
if
on guys they're re-signing?
Guy saying, you want me to
I
stay?
Hope to God
I want
not.
The guys that I'm going to be working with.
So now Bill, Bill's getting bossed around by Brady and Kraft and the special teams coach?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't say bossed around. But I would not be going against the fact that he may have had a say. Like, listen, you want me to stay here? I'm going to want the guys on my squad. So listen, give me Brandon Bolden back and make a deal with them. Short money. Why not?
Yes. Do you know how many guys can do that on short money? Do you know how many guys can be special teamers?
Listen, you got him back. You're very lucky. He almost went to Indianapolis with Josh McDaniels.
Who?
Joe Judge.
I was talking about Brandon Bolden. I don't care if they lose Joe Judge. That doesn't bother me one bit.
Well, he's obviously valuable to the
team. Who cares
if
they lose the special teams coach?
He's valuable to the team.
No, he's not. Have you watched Tom versus Time, Sarge?
Of course. I'm in the first two episodes.
You see, well, good point. Sorry, what a stupid question by me.
You gave me a
softball. Sorry, you're the star of Tom versus Time. I forgot about that. Let me read it for the people.
Go ahead, read it for the people,
Sarge. Before we get to your hot take on Gronk,
turn the lights on.
Big league tease from Sarge. Mm-hmm. Rob Gronkowski again, apparently out for Chinese food at the Kowloon or wherever else. Opened a fortune cookie and left out the magic numbers. Foresee your own future, control your own temptations, and your destiny will not just be reached, it will just be starting.
Now read that word for word, please.
I'm not going to read it word for word.
That's
I know
where
what he
I had
meant.
Trouble.
Don't, I just figure it out. I
will
know what he
be
meant.
Be not just be reached,
don't,
he said.
Don't confuse the people.
Yeah, poor Sarge.
Sarge, man. And I forgot about the whole preamble about the special teams coach.
That was an angry Saturday.
Joe Judge.
That was an angry Saturday.
I'll tell you what, it is a fair point, though. How would they survive without Joe Judge? Mm-hmm. It's just like, the season go down the toilet.
It's a fine question. The man I replaced in the two chair on the Adam Jones show is, of course, restaurateur down in Virginia Beach.
Nick at Night.
Which is where he's returned to. But let's reminisce on we heard a little bit of it today, actually.
Hold on. This is a great one.
Chris Sale and the 300 strikeout.
Oh, no, this isn't it. I thought it was the other one.
No. This is the Chris Sale 300 strikeout and the varying reactions on the night show just last year.
Brilliant. You would figure this is like the perfect spot unless they want to get Price in there in higher leverage situation.
Woo! Yes!
I have a feeling we're not going to do the this Evan Gaddis.
Yes! 300 strikeout, baby! Yes! Suck it, Baltimore!
This is breaking sports news.
That's right.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, Chris Sale records his 300th strikeout of the season. First pitcher to do that since Pedro Martinez. He's getting high fives throughout the dugout. It's big time, folks, big time. Chris Sale, strikeout number 300. And I think he just mouthed, I dedicate that to Adam Jones. I'm not sure. But I think he looked directly into the camera and mouthed that.
Yeah, how's that taste, Baltimore? 300 strikeout. Right in your eyeball. Suck on that. Chris Sale back out for the eighth inning. A moment we will all remember for the rest of our lives. We will never forget where we were. Number 300. You know what? In retrospect, good call by the manager. In retrospect, brilliant. Brilliant. That was a lot of fun. Strikeout, breaking ball at the knees. What a moment. The moment, the chills going through me right now. Just a perfect call by manager John. Just another one he hit right on the nose.
Suck it, Baltimore, right in your eyeball.
Yeah. Sports Orioles have never been the same ever since.
By the way, Chris Sale did go on after being pushed the way he was down the stretch for that 300 strikeout. Posted an 8.38 ERA in the postseason. Excellent point by Adam Jones.
Nice.
Pac-Man, always good to have you here on the show.
Yeah, great to be here.
No, it's it always...
It seemed like the people enjoyed it, didn't it? The people out there really liked it today, I would say.
Being next to you always makes me look better.
Uh-huh.
It's nice to wear the white hat for a day. I can't lie to you.
Yep.
If that's how you want to categorize it.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.